Andre and I had like a pretty good, like intense, like, you know, we'd feed off each other pretty well. The intensity was high. There was not a lot of smiling or like laughing or joking, I'll tell you that, no matter what match it was. I was not totally locked in yet. He's bouncing ball back to serve. You know how he does, like very methodical and intense. And then looks over at me, gives me a paddle tap, and he's like, look into my eyes. I'm like, okay. He's like, let's go. And I'm like, okay, I'm locked in. Look into my eyes.
Yeah, he'll give the crazy eyes too. So I never partnered with Andre, but I bet that was quite an experience.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Look how we made it this far.
That was a good little pun though. Let's rock it. Like, you know, like, cause you said we have to go fast cause we're short on time, but also like rock band rocket. So let's rock it.
Yes. Well, Rob, I'm in a bathroom. Where are you?
That's actually not a pun. Is that a pun or is that a double entendre?
Ooh, I don't know. You lost me at the
first
one.
You're in a bathroom? I see the towel. Yeah.
The towel rack. So I wasn't sure. It was like, do I do bare rack? Or do I put the towel on the rack and blend in with the
you have to go
wall
towel.
A little bit? So,
absolutely correct
okay,
choice.
Okay, I made the right decision. All right, good.
Absolutely correct choice. If I just saw like a bare metal rack, I would be disgusted right now.
Yeah.
Thank God you didn't do that.
Yeah, the lighting is not... Yeah, well, the sun is not up in Vegas, and the lighting in my actual room is not fantastic. So we're in the bathroom, and that's just how it has to be today.
And you're in a house, though. You're not in a hotel, right?
Yeah, Airbnb. That's what we usually do for the tournaments for the Hard Eights. Tournament, like, I mean, they both have their advantages. I actually like hotels, but it can get a little depressing at times if you are on the road a lot and you are constantly in a hotel. So I like to mix it up with an Airbnb every now and then.
Yeah, it's a bit more social. Like, if you want your space, hotel's good, but if you want some live bodies around, it's nice to be in the mix.
So what's up with you? What are you doing?
I'm probably not so far away from you. I would guess maybe, I don't know, 5 to 10 miles. I'm in Vegas.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying that. And why is that again?
There's a big conference here for a company called Okta and Amazon Web Services, AWS. And I am doing... pickleball activation is what the kids are calling it these days.
Oh,
so it's like corporate pickleball stuff at a conference where I'll just be like the people just be like rolling through. We're doing like 30-minute sessions, like beginner. Like it'll just be, you know, make people like it's the Adam Stone specialty. Be silly, schmooze it up, get in the mix, have a little fun with everybody, make sure they're smiling. Like this is it's the Adams. Like I don't know why you're actually taking pickleball seriously. Coaching, you should be on the road doing a full time circus doing this with people, and they would love it.
But yeah, well, pickleball and corporate, that's just together now.
That's a clean mix.
It's a new golf. Yeah, I love that. But yeah, so I will say I do fine in those situations, and you know, maybe next time I'll join you.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm in. We have to figure out, you definitely don't want to come where I'm staying.
Yeah. What's up with that?
I don't want to talk about smells.
No, they didn't even have coffee for you?
But no, well, it's a little tricky because there's a Keurig and then I see a gourmet coffee box, but it's like with the mini bar stuff. So also this medium or sorry, grande, but it's a Pike Place roast right here that I have in my hands. The saving grace is that it's very, very close to my room, meaning like I ordered online. I went down to ready. I pick it up. I walk up like no issue. Boom, boom,
okay,
boom.
Good.
Okay,
convenience is good in Vegas.
Yeah.
But this is usually like $395 at home. This is like $695. Mm-hmm. I also get this big bad boy. These are a secret. They're not very secret. I think they're in all the stores. But it's a tropical citrus, like a sparkling energy drinkish. It's delicious, and it's very energizing, Adam. It
yeah.
checks two of my boxes.
Yeah,
delicious and energizing.
You got a double fist at 6:30 in the morning. That's part of it.
But I, come on, brain, work. But yeah, so I think the box might be
come on.
It might charge me.
Okay. That's the way to dig deep, though.
And if this is $6.95, how much is that?
I hear you.
You can't sit up here, you know?
Yeah, well, about 10 miles from you, we got a little MLP going on, Robert. And yesterday we had premier teams. Today it's the Heart Eights. Big tournament for the Heart Eights. It's our last one of the regular season. We only have 3 matches left. We'll be playing the Black Bears today, the Bay Area Breakers, and Las Vegas Night Owls tomorrow. So basically 3 teams at the top, and having a top 2 seed is absolutely huge. So we need to do some damage in these next 3 matches. And we did have an unfortunate situation. One of our team members, Irina Tereshchenko, is very sick. So she is not able to play. So we have a replacement player for these 3 matches, Jeannie Iridine.
Okay, that's a good pickup.
Yeah, I agree. So I think she's got some good game, has some really nice roles on both sides, forehand and backhand. And yeah, I'm expecting her to fill in nicely. Got some practice in with her yesterday. And actually, because of you, Rob, that the rule in Major League Pickleball is once you use a replacement player, you have to use them for the rest of that particular event. Do you remember why that is a rule because of you, Robert?
It's because they lied to me. It's because right before I did this move, this incredible strategy by me, because I knew the rules better than everybody else, or the lack thereof better than everybody else, I got punished. Yeah, it was when I was trying to return. I was in Newport Beach. I was trying to return really quickly from a torn meniscus surgery, and it was like 6 weeks. So I was not very mobile, but I was able to play well enough to play dubs. So I played with Eric Lang, actually, who's on your team now. And I think it was Simone and maybe like Lena. But yeah, so we went to a Dream Breaker. I don't remember with who. And I, like, before the Dream Breaker starts, I go over to Steve Kuhn and I'm like, hey, like, obviously I just played doubles. I feel like, you know, I feel like I could play singles, but it's gonna, it feels very risky. And if I don't want to take an unnecessary risk, and it sounds silly now, but back then, dude, there was no rule. And I talked about this on the podcast of, why would you not? Why has nobody done this yet? Because I had side conversations with Steve Kuhn and I think Brooks Wiley, and we were all talking about, like, yeah, why is nobody doing this yet? And I'm like, yeah, bring in an alternate for singles who's a good singles player, and then have your doubles players just play doubles. So I was very out there with it. It wasn't like the secret move, which some people got pissed at and thought I did some secret move to like try to sneak one over on them. But so I sit the Dream Breaker. We bring Tardio in. Tardio's young legs to play singles. I think we win the Dream Breaker. I go back to that place I'm staying, like, have a nice afternoon nap, getting ready for the next match a few hours later. And it turns out there's a big storm at the venue in Newport where everybody was trying to overthrow the government. And it was January 6th Capitol all over. And yeah, I walk up and I got to talk to you. I'm like, okay. What's up? Like, you can't play. I'm like, what do you mean? Of course I can play. Shut up. Like, get out of my face. I don't remember who even told me that.
Of course I can play.
Of course I'm going to play. Get out of here. You're silly. And then I talked to Brooks, and I'm just like, I get so mad because they literally made up this rule day of, Like, there was no rule against it. And not only that, it's like, okay, make the rule up, but don't give me permission before I do it. So yeah, that's the, you know, that's a long story long.
That's a long story long, but a good one and a funny one. And I mean, it was technically within the rules. But yes,
yeah.
Storm was what was happening during your nap. There was huddles of people like talking to each other. I remember. And yeah, so yeah, this,
can you believe this did this? What a bad person. Oh my
God. What a bad person. So, you know, sometimes you gotta find out the hard way when there's some loopholes in the verbiage of the rules written. So, yeah, that was pretty funny stuff. Hey,
I messed around and I found out.
Hey, you played great doubles, Gabe played great singles. So what?
Hey, perfect strategy, actually.
Perfect strategy.
Except I couldn't play after that.
Yeah. So, so I mentioned that stuff about the Challenger League and those top three teams. Top two is a big deal. In Premier, yeah. There's not a huge playoff race in Premier because six teams make the playoffs. And really, there's some pretty big gap in terms of points per match. So I think really the Arizona Drive and the Orlando Squeeze have a chance. They're in the 7 and 8 spots. They have a chance, but there's a decent little gap between them and the team that is in sixth place, which I believe is the New York Hustlers. So it would take a lot for the Orlando Squeeze or the Arizona Drive to sneak into that sixth spot. So there's a lot going on with who is making the playoffs and who could possibly get those top two seeds. But you know, if you're deep enough in a hole in that point per match situation, as we move towards the end of the regular season, it's going to take a lot. So, So it's there. Yeah. Like I said, there's a lot going on in these matches, especially as we come down to it. The good thing for the Drive and the Squeeze is that they do have quite a few matches left to play. I believe it's 8 and 9 respectively.
Oh, wow.
With only this event and the Miami event left to play. So even though there is a gap, they have quite a few matches to make up some of that. So it'll be a very interesting run at the end to see how it all slots out.
I don't know if you know this, but I haven't checked a bag since probably 2005. So I'm going on 20 years of no check bags. I only carry on. And what's made that really easy for me over the past couple years are Selkirk backpacks. Because little do people know, you get a personal item in a carry-on on most carriers. And both items are big backpacks. I carry them on. I fill both of them to the brim. And they both count as carry-on. So I don't have to check a bag. It's important.
No, I'm right there with you. And that's the big boy. And I am past my playing days. So I do one big boy and one little smaller fella here that I can take with me from the hotel to the venue every single day. Leave the big boy there. Don't check bags. Get yourself some Selkirk gear. Small, medium, big, you need it.
I don't have the small. I need the small. Somebody send me the small. But yeah, you're right, because I can put my little laptop and I don't have to take the big one. It's important. Selkirk, send me a small. I'll buy it.
You know, there's obviously some question marks on how much do players care. Might be one way to put it, but I'll tell you who does care and who probably, if I had to put money on it, especially having that many matches left, I'm not putting money against Andre Daescu in terms of wanting to win and wanting to push his team into the playoffs. So, if I was a betting man,
yes.
I'd expect the big guy to push his team forward.
Yeah, agree completely. He's definitely that guy.
If anybody wants to win MLP or even the first point of his match today or the second point, or it's Andre Daescu. I assure you.
It's true.
And you will see
it
in his eyes.
But there's quite a few trades, you know, with the bottom dwellers selling off
before
the top.
I have to tell this. Just Andre Daescu's story really quick. We're playing a match, and it's I think it's one of the finals in the APPs, and we're down, I think, in game one, and you know, it's, you know, you're playing one or two matches on that Sunday, Championship Sunday, and it's like maybe takes you a minute to get going, to get locked in, and you know, we're down, like, I don't know, maybe miss a couple of volleys or something on transition, whatever, and go back to the baseline, we're serving, and Andre and I had like a pretty good, like, intense, like, you know, we'd feed off each other pretty well. The intensity was high. There was not a lot of smiling or like laughing or joking, I'll tell you that, no matter what match it was. And I was not totally locked in yet. He's bouncing ball back to serve. You know how he does, like, very methodical and intense. And then looks over at me, gives me a paddle tap, and he's like, "Look into my eyes." I'm like, "Okay." He's like, "Let's go." And I'm like, "Okay, I'm locked in. Look into my eyes.
Look into my eyes. Yeah, he'll give the crazy eyes too. So I, you know, I never partnered with Andre, but I bet that was quite an experience.
Yeah, so it's quite fun. Okay, sorry about that. So yeah, some bottom dwelling trades.
Right, so that, and then the team's got top heavy. So that, and also quite a few replacement players. I mean, there's some injuries piling up. You know, always a shout out to.
But it was wild, a funny. A lot of injuries nowadays. It seems like when there weren't so many. You know, I would say when
you got some conspiracy theories. You're just
I don't know, I mean, if they're conspiracy. It seems pretty data driven to me.
Yeah, but it was a pretty funny match yesterday. Not that they don't deserve to be there now, but this was a premier match from the Mad Drops and the Texas Ranchers. And the Texas Ranchers had Anderson Scarpa, who, you know, was drafted as a challenger player. They had Quang Duong, who was not even drafted. And they were playing. They were playing Hunter Johnson, who has definitely solidified his spot, but at the time of the draft, he was a questionable premier pick. And he was paired with AJ Kohler, who was not drafted in Challenger at all. So it was just a funny match to see the villains. The match was fine. The level was fine, but it was just wild to see that in a premier match, all those players who, you know, barely snuck into MLP in general. So, so there's some interesting pairings and some interesting matchups, but there's quite a bit on the line when it comes to the playoff picture.
Who was everybody filling in for in that match?
The guys. So AJ Kohler was with the Mad Drop, so that's for Thomas Wilson. QD. So Alshon was out. That's why Anderson Scarpa was in.
Why is Alshon out?
Alshon, I'm not exactly sure. He's injured, so he's been having some issues with his knee. I know he had a gastrointestinal surgery, but the day before in the PPA, he was playing the bronze medal match. So it was him and Etta versus Catherine Parento and James Ignatowicz on Sunday, and then Monday he was not playing MLP. So that was a little interesting.
He finished the match on Sunday.
He did. He won. He won the match on Sunday. Because I was playing rec on the court next to him, getting lit up by Lacey Schneeman and Vivian Glosman, so I remember all of it.
Conspiracy doesn't really feel like a conspiracy, does it, Adam?
Oh God, here we go. Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. You played a little bit with Toast with Viv.
Toast with Viv, Glosdoss. Nice. So
Glossy.
She got some game. She hits it very hard when she hits it well, and
she hits it very hard.
And Schneeman was just like attacking my throat a lot.
Adam, that's like that. That's like anybody else's like midsection.
Yeah, I know. So I guess she was just attacking body, but it happened to be at my throat. So I'm just flailing away. I can't get out of the way of the ball. You know, I finally let two go, and they're both 2 feet in. I'm like, what the going on here? And, you know,
that's actually it's an interesting point. It's like that's been a hard adjustment. Is like dialing in, like, what's, I mean, not that hard based on some of it, but dialing in, like, what's going in and what's going out based on a constant, it's changed everything.
And I used to just like hit a feathery drop and come forward aggressively and look to do something. And now, like, the force, I'm like, it's like at my waist, and then all of a sudden I'm hitting it at my feet, you know, which was not really a thing that could do back in the day, but you can do it now. And I am not making the adjustment I need to make on those shots. So,
yeah, it was pretty ugly. It's actually a really, somebody needs to, maybe I'll do this. Somebody needs to do a full on breakdown of the things that you could not do in pickle, call it 2.5 years ago, versus what you can do now has completely changed the game in terms of strategy, core positioning, shot selection.
I don't have enough phalanges to name that many things. It's literally that many. It's 20 plus. It's 20 plus things that you can do now that you cannot do 3 or 4 years ago. It's really not that long. It's like 3 or 4 years ago. And I mean, that's 2020. And now, I mean, it's a completely different situation. All right, Rob, I'm going to put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
So I didn't watch any of it. I don't even know what the score was, but I do know that you and Monroe played my boys, Purple Jesus and Eric. Eric Lang at the APP in Dallas. Give me a light breakdown of that match.
97 degrees, 25 mile per hour winds, bang bang Lang.
Bang bang. Well, that's light. That's a light breakdown. I watched a very little bit of that to do some scouting and to watch some of the Heart Eight players, and it did look a bit breezy. Looked a bit breezy at the Oasis. Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't pickleball. It's why we're still putting on the charade of pickleball outside is beyond me. It's ugly. It's sloppy. I'm not even like, I know this is what I do, but I'm genuinely like disgusted by like the quality of. It's, and then the bronze match was even worse, dude. It was on a backcourt, and there's no space at the Oasis. There's balls rolling on all the other courts. That's another thing. All courts have to be individually fenced at the pro level. Period. End of story. The end. You cannot be playing beside another court with balls rolling on anymore. You can't make a third, hit a sick third, crash, have an easy sitter, and then ball rolls over. Then you, next ball, you miss your third, or they hit a massive, you know, a massive return or some nonsense. The game is, the margins are too small to be having balls rolling on your court. The margins are too small to be having 30 mile per hour gusts of wind. Let's have clean pickleball. Let's play inside. Let's actually show quality stuff. My God, dude.
I didn't even know I was setting you up for that wonderful tangent, but I was.
But, you know, it definitely suits some players' games more than others, and it certainly doesn't suit my game, so that's on me.
As Irina would say, shlomos, that's who it suits. The shlomos, the bottom dwellers in the draw.
It suits idiotic pickleball. Idiotic pickleball. Absolutely correct, Irina.
Great tangent. I'm glad I waited. You know, like 20 minutes for your caffeine to kick in a little bit so that you could really go full force there. So that's good teamwork.
Okay. So that's what happened. All right. Let's move on.
All right. Well, I know you're upset and you're a little, you know, frustrated over there, but what do you think about a possible of the week for this segment? Because we're going to have a little bit short today. We got a big match. I got to do a little prep work for these California Black Bears.
Tip of the week, be mentally strong in the wind. Like,
ooh.
Truly, though.
Wind is good. Wind is good. Okay.
Yeah, you have to go. And honestly, like, I'm annoyed now about the wind, but like, I'm not going into those matches being annoyed with the wind. I'm going in just like, you know, playing a match. And knowing that we both have to deal with it and thinking more about strategy and like, do we want to go downwind? Do we want to go into the wind? I'm annoyed now, and it's partially, you know, throwing a tangent to throw a tangent, but I obviously feel strongly about indoor pickleball. But when I do play in the wind, I'm not cursing the wind after every point. So when you do play in it, you have to go in. Like you said, Adam, the wind is my friend. Like, you have to know that it's going to be a part of the game. You're dealing with it. They're dealing with it. And to me, it's like one of those things that you control is your is what you're thinking and your mindset and your emotional, you know, stance around it. So if you go into it, you know, with a clear head, knowing that it's going to be a battle and you're going to have to move your feet more. And I think that's a big one is like footwork's huge in pickleball, obviously, and even more so with how fast the game's gotten, but even more so if there's wind, because yep. Moving your feet means you get into position for your shots. With the wind pushing a wiffle ball, plastic ball, you have to take extra steps to get there. Otherwise, you're going to be hitting it off balance. You're going to be hitting it away from where you want to hit it. And what that does, Adam, is cause errors. So take the extra steps to get into position. It's going to be a bit more exhausting. If you're hitting into the wind, let balls go. This is like a true mental adjustment to like be conscious of it is, they're taking any kind of backswing going downwind with you. It's going out a lot. And I think a lot of people don't make that adjustment of they just play like it's another match and they're hitting the normal balls that they're hitting, but you have to make those slight mental adjustments. I even thought about it. It was like, okay, Jack serving, the wind just picked up slightly. So it's like these little nuances, like, I'm on the left side, Jack serving from the left, we're stacked serving. I feel the wind pick up a little bit. The return comes middle. So I'm taking my forehand, roll drop. But even just like feeling that slight wind pickup, very subconsciously, I know to be even softer than typical on that third, on that drop. So it's like just little things like that you can notice is just like subtle wind changes. Did it pick up? Did it slow down? Because there's a lot of times where, you know, you'll miss it in the net and you'll be like, where's the wind? But if you were like really dialed in and really mentally focused on what it's doing between every single point, because it's swirly, it does change. All of that stuff is really, really important. You have to just be really mentally focused and mentally strong playing in the wind. But hopefully we get to a point soon, Adam, where we don't play in the wind.
Right. Yeah, no, I think it's important to note that mindset is huge going into the match. Having that that idea of game planning for it when you're on your respective side with the wind or against the wind. Of course, the short steps and the footwork. But also, I think, like, getting too wide with your base is a problem when it's windy. Because I think a lot of times is, like, one of the things that gave me the most problems is I would be at the kitchen line looking to hit a fourth or a yeah. sixth or an eight. And I'm, like, reaching it, trying to take it out of the air. And I'm ready for a standard ball flight. So I kind of yeah. get wide and set to lean forward early. And then, yeah. of course, the ball doesn't quite make it to me. Or it comes with more force and I'm jammed up or I'm not extended how I want to. So. Getting too wide, getting stuck in the mud is a problem always, but more so it's exacerbated when it's in it, when the wind is involved. So I've even had a pro player tell me that when they are against the wind and someone attacks them, they will block at a higher frequency. And when they're with the wind, they will counter almost everything. So
yeah.
I think in those firefights is another place that the wind can make a big factor, even though you're close to your opponent and you're hitting the ball hard, which meaning the wind's going to affect it less. When you are with the wind, punching that ball and counterattacking, you're going to be ahead and win a lot of those firefights, because firefights are very, it's even more difficult to let an out ball go out. It's easier yeah. for me, at least on the initial speed up. To look for a ball to let go, and in the firefights, it's more difficult when you're in that moment. So just a couple things that I was thinking about, or I've talked to other players that they're thinking about with windy conditions.
Yeah, I think on the flip side of that, if you're into the wind and you're playing somebody that has big counters, do a speed up, get out of the way. Like, you don't actually have to initiate a lot of those firefights, especially if somebody kind of tends to go long on that first counter, or really, really heavy on that first counter. And it's not really down. It's more of like a linear straight at you type counter.
Right, right.
Speed up, move. Ball is going to go out a lot.
Speed up and bail.
Yep.
It's a good play, though. Yeah, yeah. Just dive out of there. So
Flick, no, drop, and roll.
Flip, drop, stop. Yep, yep, that works. That works. I like that. those are good win tips, and I think that that is, like, extremely relevant, because I would get that question a lot at camps, or I'll see the whatever, what's it called, pickleball forum or stuff. People will discuss wind and conditions and how you play in it. So I think that those are good tips.
Yeah, and I think driving at a higher clip too, especially at the amateur level, is like it's really difficult, really difficult to control the ball and be very precise with a wiffle ball when it's windy. Oftentimes, it's better to just drive. If you get a shorter volley back, you know, make it. It's going to be an easier drop than from the baseline. So, yeah, hit through the ball. I think you can drive a lot more in windy conditions. Hit through it.
Yeah, hit through it. Those are some simple solutions, and some we gave some that are a little more specific or a little more nuanced, as you like to say, Robert.
Hey, we have a wide range out. We go from beginner to intermediate to advanced, baby.
Oh,
me and you.
Boom, boom, and you. Boom. There
me
it is.
And you, baby.
You, baby. Absolutely. Well, all right, I'm about to go watch some film on the Black Bears. So nice, quick hitting episode. Glad we can get it done in our respective hotel room and Airbnb. And we'll be back to standard format next week.
Go get him out there, Adam. Go get him.
Big day. Roll the dice, baby. Roll the dice.
It's like Andre is going to lead the drive to victory. You're going to lead the eights to victory. Let's go.
I like that. Let's go. Game time.